Mandy and Ms. Sire.
Romans 1:11-12. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith.
ローマ人への手紙1章11節から12節。私があなた方に会いたいと切に望むのは、御霊の賜物をいくらかでもあなた方に分けてあなた方を強くしたいからです。というよりも、あなた方の間にいてあなた方と私との互いの信仰によって共に励ましを受けたいのです。
And the message today, Pastor Carl Muntz's message, is called The Power of Impartation. We were wondering how you say impartation in Japanese. The Japanese, I think it basically just says wakete, wakeru, meaning to share or to give. So impart means to give. Right? So, Pastor Aki?
Morning. Just curious, how many of you have actually heard of the term impartation? A couple of you, yeah. Okay. It was a, I guess, impartation was a common understanding within the early church, as we saw in. The letter in Roman, Paul says, I long to impart gifts to you. And when Paul said that, he wasn't meaning I long to give you an omiyage in terms of a senbei or omiyage in terms of, I don't know, a cake or anything. But he was talking in terms of spiritually, I long to give you a spiritual, impart a spiritual gift. And again, the Japanese is... I forgot the Japanese. wakeru? And basically an impartation is a giving of a blessing, a spiritual blessing. That's basically what it is. Today I want to talk about three things about impartation, the biblical basis for an impartation, to the purpose of an impartation, and finally, pursuing an impartation. I believe... Paul says, I long to see you, to give you, to give impart a gift to you, because it was absolutely necessary for the church and for some of the believers to be activated in their gifting to fulfill all that Jesus has called us to. Jesus died on the cross. And simply not just for salvation, it wasn't simply just to go to heaven, although that's the best part of salvation, is heaven. But He died for us so that He could give to us power and authority to fulfill the Father's will. And Jesus says, you know, when the disciples ask Jesus, how ought we pray? And Jesus tells the disciples, pray in this way, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In order for us to truly fulfill that, I believe an impartation for some of us is absolutely necessary. And so I want to talk about the importance of it. And first, let's look at the biblical basis of it. I want to... show you us both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The first passage I want to look at is in Deuteronomy. We'll be flipping through the Bible. I'll read it. If you get lost, don't worry. I'll just read it out loud and you could just listen to it while I read. But Deuteronomy, this chapter 34, verse 9. And this is an account of Moses... He either died here or he was just taken up. You know, some people say he died, some people said he was just taken. But this is Moses at the end of his life. And of course, most of you know who Moses is, but for those of you who don't, he was one of the greatest leaders in Israel's history. He was instrumental in freeing the children of Israel from the power of Egypt, which was probably the most powerful nation of that time. But Moses delivered them. And Moses is by far one of the greatest leaders in Israel's history. It would have been tough to follow Moses. And the task, it was Joshua's task now to lead the children of Israel after the greatest leader. And this is what happens. Deuteronomy 34:9, it says, "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom," and catch this, "because Moses had laid his hand on him." So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Now let me read that. "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because he hung out with Moses a lot, or because he went to school, or because he went to the U of A." It doesn't say that, does it? The spirit of wisdom was upon Joshua because what? Moses laid his hands on him, and this is a picture of an impartation of this gift of wisdom. It was given to Moses. I don't know exactly when it was given to Moses. I know in Moses' lifetime, there was a time where he was almost burnt out because he was taking on everyone's issues. And Moses' father-in-law gives him advice. You know, you need to get other leaders to help you. And so I'm going to go out on a limb and say Moses was not operating in the spirit of wisdom at that time. Somewhere along the line, Moses gets the spirit of wisdom. And here, at the end of his life, when he knows he's going to go away, he goes to his predecessor, Joshua, lays his hand on him, and the scripture says when he did that, the spirit of wisdom came upon Joshua. Let's look at another example of an impartation. This is before Moses. It's in Genesis chapter 48, the first book of the Bible. Verses 13 through 20. Just an FYI, if you're looking at a Japanese Bible, and Genesis would be on this side. There was a time when I was in Japan, and I had a Japanese Bible, and I kind of pride myself. God is working on me. I kind of pride myself on knowing where, you know, certain books are and stuff like that. And of course, everyone knows where Genesis is, right? When the pastor said, go to the book of Genesis, I was searching in the book of Revelation, and the person next to me says, no, Genesis is over here. And he helped me, and I was like, oh my gosh, this person thinks. Anyways, Genesis 48, verse 13. Let me give you a little just background. So this is Jacob, one of the fathers of the people of Israel. It's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And Jacob, his name interchanges Israel. So if you see Israel sometime, that's Jacob. But he meets his son, Joseph, who they were separated. And that's a long story, I'm not going to get into it. But he finally reconnects with Joseph, his favorite son. And by this time, Joseph has two kids. And Jacob knows that he's about to go on to be with the Lord. And he wants to bless his sons, but he also wants to bless his grandsons. And this is what happens. Genesis 48, verse 13. It says, Joseph took both of them, Ephraim on his right towards Israel, Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left towards Israel's right hand. So you have the oldest grandson on the right side, and then the younger one on the left side. And Joseph brings his grandson. He wants Jacob to bless his grandsons. So that's the picture here. But Israel reached out his right hand and put it on Ephraim's head, the younger son, though he was younger, and crossing his arms, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph and said, "May the God before whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly on the earth." And this is an interesting part. When Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was displeased. So he took hold of his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to him, "My father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations." He blessed them that day and said, and he just blessed them. So if you see, just to give you a picture, the younger one was here, the older one was here, and Joseph said, "Can you bless my grandson?" And so he does, but he puts his right hand on the younger one and the left hand on the older one. And it said Joseph got upset. And why would he get upset? Because Joseph knew the importance of a blessing, and a blessing in the form of laying on of hands. And he knew that the right hand, for some reason, was a greater blessing than the left hand. And he wanted that right hand blessing to be upon the older son. But Israel said, "No, this is the way it's supposed to be." I don't know exactly all the details on why, but that's what happened. And I just want to give you one more example of an impartation in the Old Testament. And this happened to happen without the laying on of hands. And so, just to tell you, most times impartation does come with a laying on of hands, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it just happens in other ways. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 through 15. This is the story of Elijah, one of the greatest prophets in Israel's history. He did just great miracles, similar to Jesus' miracles. And this is right before he is about to go to heaven, and one of his disciples, Elijah, realizes, I guess because he's a prophet, he knows that Elijah is about to go to heaven, and so Elijah is following Elijah everywhere he goes. And if you have time, it's a great story, it's in chapter 2, but Elijah several times says, "Wait here, I'm going to go somewhere else." Elisha says, "No, I'm not going to leave you. I know you're going to go soon, and I want an inheritance before you leave." It happens several times, and finally in verse 9, it says, "When they had crossed, Elijah finally says to Elisha, 'Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you?'" I think by this time he might have been upset or just frustrated. You know, he tried to get rid of him a couple times, but Elisha was very diligent in seeking this impartation. He says, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." Verse 10, "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." Verse 11, "As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah saw this and cried out, 'My father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel,' and Elijah saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan." It's an interesting story. I've heard a pastor talk about this last test was probably the hardest test. And so Elijah wanting a double portion, Elisha wanting a double portion, was given a test. Elijah tells Elisha, if you see me go up in the whirlwind, that double portion is yours. And what happens? They're talking and walking, and then a chariot comes, a fire comes, and separates the two. And so I don't know how exactly that all happened, but I'm sure the chariot might have been going this way, and the whirlwind might have been this way. And so Elisha was given the task of seeing Elijah go up, right? Now, how many of us would have looked at the chariot? I might have. I might have been like, whoa! I missed my double portion of blessing. Elisha, though, being a good student, sees the whirlwind. He sees a cloak falling to the ground. He picks up that cloak, and I believe that cloak was a physical a symbol of the inheritance that Elijah left for Elisha. And from that point on, Elisha was a powerful prophet in Israel. Let's look at some New Testament examples. These come, the first two is from 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. This is a letter Paul writes to his disciple, Timothy. And in these passages, he's going to talk about spiritual gifts in Timothy's life. The first one comes in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. It says, this is Paul, he says, do not neglect your gift, Timothy, which was given you through prophecy when the bodies of elders laid their hands on you. Again, if you catch that, there was gifts of the Spirit given to Timothy after the elders laid their hands on him. Again, in 2 Timothy 1:6, it says this. This is Paul again talking to Timothy. He says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gifts of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So Paul lays hands on Timothy at one point in time, and after that, Timothy is filled with the gift of with a gift. It doesn't say specifically what gift that is. In Matthew 19:13-15, we don't have to turn there, but people come with children, with their children, and Jesus lays his hands on the children and blesses them. In Acts 8:14-17, we've read this passage several times, but John and Peter, they go to new believers, and when they lay their hands on the new believers, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And so we see several instances where the impartation, either of the Holy Spirit, a blessing, the gift, is through the laying on of hands. And that brings us to the purpose of impartation is basically the transference, the giving of a spiritual blessing. For example, the transference of anointing in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit was given through an impartation, laying on of hands. It's for the purpose of passing down a spiritual inheritance. And we saw that with the story of Elijah and Elisha, right? And with Moses and Joshua. Moses gives the inheritance of wisdom to Joshua. Elijah gives a double portion of anointing to Elisha. I don't know if any of you have a will, but you know how important a will is, right? And the will, it just signifies who, all your possession, where it goes after you die. If you don't have anybody you want to give your possessions to after you die, come and see me. I would love to be in your will. But in all seriousness, do you know that we have a spiritual inheritance that we could pass down? It's no good if the spiritual inheritance you have goes to the grave and you never give it to anyone else. It does nobody any good. The purpose of an impartation is for a blessing. We saw that with the story of Jacob and with Jesus blessing the children. And we see that with in Timothy, the empowering and the activation of spiritual gifts. Now, for some of us, we might have grown up in the church thinking, when I got saved, I got everything that Christ has for me, right? I got the whole package on the day of salvation. But as we saw in Scripture, that wasn't always the case. Some believers, after they believed, they didn't even have the Holy Spirit. Some believers, after they believed, they didn't have certain gifts. Some believers, after they believed, they weren't walking in the fullness that Jesus has for us. Now that's important. In order to fulfill all that God has for us, we need to seek all that God has provided for us. Being a passive Christian will never get us to the place where He's called us. It will never fulfill, our calling will never be fulfilled if we're just passive. And so, receiving an impartation, is so important that we become aware that we need an impartation. For some of you, if this is your first time hearing about an impartation, I hope that in some ways, you'll become aware of a need. Okay, maybe I don't have everything Jesus has for me. Maybe I don't have everything. Maybe I'm not completely equipped to accomplish all that Jesus wants me to accomplish. It's so important that we become aware of a need for impartation. Simply eagerly desire it. Now we might be thinking, is that really biblical to eagerly desire power or impartation or a blessing or a spiritual gift? And I tell you, yes, it is absolutely biblical. And if you don't believe me, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 says this. Paul simply says, "Now eagerly desire the greatest gifts," plural. So it's wrong to say Paul was simply talking about love. Yes, the greatest gift, singular, is love. But if you notice there, he says, "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts," plural. And again, in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he tells the Corinthians believers, "Follow the way of love and eagerly," again, eagerly, not just desire, but eagerly desire spiritual gifts, plural, especially the gift of prophecy. I don't consider myself a prophet, but sometimes God does use me in a prophetic manner. And that wasn't always the case. After I became Christian, it's not like I was operating in the gift of prophecy or anything like that, but I started hanging out with my wife. And she worked at this ministry called PIHOP, and there was just, you know, a number of gifted individuals that were operating in the gift of prophecy. And I just remember just one time being in their midst, and they, the way they have fun is they pray for each other. and it's actually really fun. But as I was at one of their gatherings, and they were just praying and prophesying, and all of a sudden I started praying for somebody, and you know, I just went on a limb and started saying, "This is what I see. This is what I feel this is what God has for you. And ever since then, I felt like at times I was operating in that gift. And no one laid their hands on me. I wish I would have asked maybe some of the leaders to, actually, did they lay their hands on me? They might have. Okay, I just forgot. Anyways, all that to say is, if you desire a gift, begin to seek it out. Hang out with people with those gifts. Whether it's the gift of prophesying, if it's the gift of healing, gift of worship. I remember there would be times when I just can't play a certain song for some reason. Like, I just couldn't get the rhythm of it. And I don't know if this is a spiritual impartation, but I could remember when I saw somebody else play it, and then all of a sudden I'm able to play it after that. And it's just, I don't know what that one was, but if you desire a spiritual gift, become aware of it, eagerly desire it, it's biblical, and of course the biblical teaching that Jesus gives is, ask, seek, and knock. Ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. I know a lot of times when I desire a gift, I read a lot of books by those that are gifted in it. I read it and, you know, I just ask God, Lord, use me in a similar manner. And finally, as Paul encouraged Timothy, diligently develop your impartation. Some of you have impartations already that you've neglected. Timothy neglected his gifts. And Paul had to rebuke him and say, stop neglecting your gifts. Or Paul says, fan into flame the gift that was placed in you, that was spoken over you, that was given at the laying on of my hands. Some of you are gifted and it's dormant, and simply you just need to go out on a limb and take a risk and do something about it. And at first you might fail, because gifts, sometimes they don't come in adult form. Gifts, they sometimes come in an infant form. But as you exercise it, use it, it can grow. And it will grow, and it will be useful and powerful in bringing Jesus' prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is so important that we as a church really pray that, but at the same time, pursue it. I do encourage you to pursue an impartation. I don't think any of us here can say, you know, I have all that Jesus has for me. I don't think anyone should say that. I mean, if you're at that place, praise God. I'm not at that place. I pray and hope that each of you would pursue the greater gifts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your Son qualifying us to run this race, the greatest race. And I pray, Father, that you would give us a desire to finish this race with excellence. Jesus, your blood shed for us, it opened the door to empower us, to equip us, to be partakers in the kingdom. I pray, Father, for those who are just who are lacking in any area, whether it's wisdom, whether it's in spiritual gifts. I pray, Father, you would give us a hunger and a thirst to seek after these things. Lord, we pray that we can be obedient to your scripture that says, eagerly desire it. I pray, Father, that you would begin to give us a heavenly hunger for the greater things, Lord, that are available because of you, Jesus, so that we can bring glory to your name, Lord. We thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.